The Spotlight. It's a radio show where volunteers share stories of inspiration, share their journey, express their feelings, and tell us all about those who have touched their lives. And we play their favorite music. It is The Spotlight, Fridays 2 to 3 p.m. on Radio Morocco.
Welcome to The Spotlight. My name is Regina Gonley. The Spotlight is a program that brings you the voices of UN volunteers in South Sudan, speaking about their work and what makes volunteering such a noble cause for humanity. In the studio, I have my guest, Alfonso Bagaza. Alfonso, you're very most welcome.
Thank you so much for having me on the show.
Yeah, could you introduce yourself to our listener?
Of course. As you said, my name is Alfonso Bagaza. I am currently volunteering in RRP, which is the Relief, Reintegration and Protection section. My role there is an analysis and reporting officer. I've been in UNMISS here close to a year. It's been a fantastic opportunity. Every day I learn more. Every day I meet new people. I've devoted my interest, both professionally and academic, to the United Nations, specifically to peacekeeping. So it's a very big honor for me to be able to serve here in an actual peacekeeping operation. I was born in Mexico, raised in the U.S., so I am also a person of multiculturalism, which fits very well into a mission like this.
So your parents migrated a little earlier and then you were born there?
Well, no, I was born in Mexico.
And then when you're a little child.
Exactly. Mm. And then I migrated to the U.S., much like a lot of my colleagues have moved around throughout the world.
Mm. Then tell us about tell us a little bit of your childhood.
Of course, right. So I actually was raised in Texas, in San Antonio, which is a small town. A lovely place if you ever get to visit.
Never, and I hope one time.
Yeah, it's great. Great food, great barbecue. But having said that, it helped me acclimate to the weather here because, as you probably know, Texas is very hot. So being here in South Sudan is sort of like being at home, where you get to 30 degrees Celsius.
So how do you define those moments that makes you what you are today?
Well, like I had mentioned earlier, I always have had an affinity for the United Nations, specifically peacekeeping. So I really devoted my energy and my time to learning more about the organization. So as soon as I could have the opportunity to go to New York to do my master's and focus in my studies in the United Nations, that's what I did. Then fortunately enough, internship after internship led to an actual position at headquarters, which eventually helped me get here.
Yeah. How did you get to the system?
Of course, that's always an interesting question. For me, it was my first full-time job. Apart from that, I had worked part-time jobs during my university studies in retail, in fast food. But being able to have an actual position was sort of like a dream come true. And continuing to work in this organization and moving forward is really a great opportunity, especially being able to volunteer my time and skill set to a noble cause, that is South Sudan.
And what inspired you to serve as a UNV?
Well, I always wanted to come to the field. And so when I saw that there was an opportunity to be a volunteer here in South Sudan, I really reached for it and networked with my contacts to try to see how I could best prepare for the interviews and the position. I was fortunate enough to be granted the opportunity to come. I've always been inspired by the Charter of the United Nations, We the Peoples of the United Nations. And I believe with all my heart in the cause that we serve as UN staff members.
Has it been frustrating when you maybe try to apply and you didn't get at the time you need the job?
Of course. I think this type of career requires a lot of patience. You have to apply to a lot of jobs before you even hear back. It's sort of like a numbers game at the end of the day. So having applied to many positions and not hearing back was obviously frustrating, but I think what the most important thing that I would say to aspiring volunteers is just to be patient. Be patient with the system, be patient with yourself, because eventually if you really want it, you will have the opportunity to serve as a volunteer.
Like you don't need to hurry to say, I need it now, tomorrow.
Right. Of course, everybody wants a quick solution and wants things to happen quicker. But it is a big organization with many difficulties and challenges when it comes to the HR process. Mm. But indeed, it takes a long time to be able to go through the whole process.
Even how long did it take you to get the job? 2 years? Three?
As a volunteer, actually, mm-hmm. yeah, about 2 years. As soon as I was eligible to apply for UMV positions, because I think the minimum age is 25, I started applying, I started looking, and it did take a long time. Fortunately, like I said, I was working in headquarters in New York, which helped me understand the system a little bit better. But indeed, it's not a fast process whatsoever. But I would say don't give up. It's worth every single application, that's worth every single moment of your time in trying to get into a position like a volunteer position that I serve in.
And if you could tell us what could be a first track.
Right, so for my first track, I chose a song called Feather by Little Dragon. So this song really brings me joy and confidence. I feel inspired whenever I feel overwhelmed by a challenge. Especially the verse where Yukumi, which is the lead singer, says, grip the crown like the winner, just gives me courage and the ability to move forward. I like this band a lot. It's a Swedish band with a large array of songs. Mm-hmm. They touch on pop, a little bit of trip-hop, down-tempo. It's just an all-around good artist or band to listen to. My first time seeing them was in Brooklyn, and I will never forget that
moment.
Do you
love music?
I do, certainly.
Spotlight brings you stories of amazing people who have interesting journeys and share with us their journeys of volunteerism. So what was your first moment of serving in UNMISS or in the UN?
Well, my first moment in serving in UNMISS, I guess my first very memorable experience was visiting the POC site here in Juba Town. working in RRP, which is Relief, Reintegration and Protection, naturally our office deals with all the issues of the POC sites, being that we're the administrators. Mm. So it was very important for me to visit the site. I had written extensively about these POC sites in my academic work, but actually going to the site, seeing it with my own eyes, and visiting some of the community centers and some of the schools that are there definitely impacted me very much. It was very interesting to see all the people there. I got to speak to some of the youth there. So that was, I guess, one of the first moments where I said, I'm here. Yeah. It's real.
Tell us about your memorable moments as a UN volunteer.
Of course.
What do you remember?
Well, one of my most memorable moments, I would say, is when I visited some quick impact projects in Torrey Town. Basically, a quick impact project is a unique peacekeeping tool that allows funding for a project to be done to benefit the community. So whether it be enhancing a school or renovating a courthouse. Practically, I was taken by my field colleagues around Torrey Town to look at some of these projects. Most memorably, though, was visiting a safe house for victims of sexual and gender-based violence. Seeing this safe house built by UN Quick Impact Project was very interesting and very, I guess, rewarding to see that these people were able to have a safe place to where they could get treatment. Also, I visited one of the courthouses, which is very historic to the community there, and it was very nice to see that it was in use and that people were going to the court and settling their disputes in a rule of law type of way.
And tell us if there was anybody in your spare who'd ever done anything like that.
Well, working for the UN for the past 4 years, I've definitely met a lot of colleagues who have been in the field, who've worked in UNVs in the field. I've also met a lot of NGO colleagues. But as far as visiting quick impact project sites, I had really actually never met anyone. And it was a fascinating experience to have. I didn't really know what to expect. Again, I had read about it a lot. But being there on the ground, it's completely changed my mind. And I understand the importance of them now.
So being away from home, of course, this one can make you sometimes maybe miserable or thinking about your family. So absence from your family affected you?
Well, naturally, being Latino, I'm very close to my family. But like I had mentioned before, living in New York for 5 years prepared me to be away from them more than I would have been had I been residing in the same town or the same city. So naturally, it impacts me not being able to see, for example, my little niece grow up, go to primary school, go to her ballet classes. Another thing that I actually miss a lot is, like I had mentioned perhaps earlier, is my dog Tango, who just shortly ago turned a year old. I'm not able to speak to him over the phone, naturally, because he's a dog. Being able to receive pictures through WhatsApp or Facebook about my family and dog and definitely helps me move along. And the support that my family gives me, the encouragement, definitely goes a long way. Without it, I think it wouldn't be the same experience and I wouldn't feel as confident at all.
Mm-hmm. So for this moment, we want your second track.
Right, so the second track is one of my favorite, obviously. It's by a band called Amadou et Mariam. So this is a musical duo from Mali composed of a couple, Amadou and Mariam, who are a couple, a married couple, right? Mm-hmm. So what's inspiring about them to me is that both of them lost their vision when they were young. But regardless of these challenges, they have been able to have a successful career, particularly being from Mali, which is a developing country. This song in particular is very inspiring to me because it talks about patience, right? So my understanding is that Sabali means patience, and as I had mentioned earlier, patience is something that you really require in a field like this, whether you're working with the community members or with other UN staff, or even applying to UN volunteer jobs. You just need patience, and it goes quite a long way. So it's definitely a refreshing song to hear.
Thank you, and enjoy the song listening. Tune to Spotlight. Spotlight brings you the stories of amazing people who have interesting journeys and share with us their journey of volunteerism. And my guest here is sharing with us his journey of volunteerism. And my next question is, what best three things have you done as a volunteer?
Professionally, when I first got here, there wasn't a way to keep records and archive documents. So I took some of the skills that I had learned previously in other jobs while serving in UNHQ, and I was able to develop, create, and launch a SharePoint site, which is an internal DPKO platform where I built a website for our section. We have been able to put together all the important documents that our field colleagues may need, a plethora of resources that were previously not accessible to them. So it's definitely been a change factor for our section. And, you know, I think if going forward, being that everything is now online, it's definitely going to help our section grow and keep some of the historical institutional knowledge together.
Mm. And how easy or difficult has it been at your work?
Well, definitely there's always challenges. There's always challenges in putting together a site, being that I don't come from an IT background. But having the usefulness of Google has helped me be able to research and overcome some of the challenges that I experienced while trying to put together this website. Another experience that I think has been really rewarding for me is, for example, I helped start up the UNV representative board here in UNMISS. Currently, I serve as a co-chair for this board. The board consists naturally of two co-chairs and then a representative for each state. And so basically, we meet monthly to gather and collect our thoughts and to speak about our challenges as UN volunteers here in the mission, with the aim to be able to influence directives and strategize response options for things that affect us. You know, for example, mental health issue I know is a big part of a lot of our work being that we're in isolated areas, sometimes living in harsh conditions. Unfortunately, sometimes UN volunteers don't get the same benefits as other colleagues may have. So this is one example that we've been focusing our efforts to be able to ensure that our volunteers also have the accessible mental health.
Okay, great experience there. And what survival skills have you acquired that you think could be valuable to any person aspiring to become a volunteer?
So, like, we had just listened to a song by Amadou Mariam, Sabali, right? That's to say patience. So definitely patience is something that is much needed in terms of the recruitment, the deployment, the learning of the intricacies of the assignment. It requires a lot of patience. A lot of times people may not have that patience and may want things to come quicker than they can. But, you know, I always like to think to myself, it's not a sprint, rather it's a marathon. And by that, but what I mean is that patience is the ability to keep moving forward and keeping your goal in sight, even if sometimes it seems so far and remote. That's definitely one of the survival skills that I have been benefited from.
And has your life changed by serving as a UN volunteer?
Well, of course. I mean, naturally, being able to volunteer my time, my skill set to a noble cause, particularly in South Sudan, where it's the newest country in the world, and there is a large need for assistance, right? And it's definitely changed my life. It's made me look at myself differently, my career aspects differently. And, you know, importantly, too, is the change in the location. Coming from New York, going to Juba, it's definitely a change of night and day.
Sure.
But I take pride and joy in my work, because at the end of the day, I know that my contributions, even if they're small, they'll have some impact.
It makes impact, yes.
Right, and being able to contribute to that is just a feeling that I've never really had in my life, and it's been an amazing opportunity, particularly at this moment in time with a peace agreement.
Sure.
Being here is such a historic opportunity, and I would rather not be anywhere else than here, truly.
Thank you so much. And what is your next track?
So this next track combines two different styles of music that are usually completely different. It's by an Egyptian singer and also by a very well-known electric band called Marshmello. I quite like the song because of the Arabic lyrics, the traditional Mediterranean Arab instruments, accompanied by the upbeat tempo of electronic music. This combination quite fascinates me. The lyrics to me are soothing, romantic, encouraging, you know, particularly in a world that sometimes feels dark and heartless.
Enjoy the music.
وبشوف عينيك الفرحة اللي تخليني بقول باين حبيت أيوة أنا حبيت الدنيا اللي بتضحك لي معك على طول وبشوف عينيك الفرحة اللي تخليني بقول انا ما اقدرش اعيش غير وانا وياك وهقول لك ايه ده ما في ثانيه تعدي ما توحشنيش وارتحت معاك طب اسمي ده ايه باين حبيت ايوه انا حبيت الدنيا اللي بتضحك لي معاك على طول باين حبيت وانا حبيت وبشوف عينيك الفرحة اللي تخليني بقول باين حبيت حبيت الدنيا اللي بتضحك لي معك على طول. وبشوف عينيك الفرحة اللي تخليني بقول.
Welcome once again to Spotlight. Spotlight is a program that brings you the voices of UN volunteers in South Sudan, speaking about their work and what makes volunteering such a noble cause for humanity. And I have my guest taking us through this program. So your life then is a sort of obsessive drive against normality. As you yourself have characterized it, does that mean that sometimes you are attracted to doing things that are rather conventional?
Well, I mean, that is always a tough question, right? Mm. I tend to verge on the side of unconventional, of unorthodox. I'm the first and only one in my family that has, you know, traveled to an area outside of the comforts of the developed world to serve in a country like South Sudan. So certainly you have to be a little bit unconventional and unorthodox to want to leave, right, the comforts of home, the comforts of your own country. You know, having said that, though, I also enjoy the conventional things in life. I love to spend time with good friends, as most people do. Sometimes watching Netflix or HBO is also great. You know, and listening to music, as we've been doing on this program, is always a very good thing to do.
So how does the prospects of being a volunteer in often hard conditions suits you?
Well, I think it suits me well, frankly. You know, I enjoy the challenges of this lifestyle, the challenges that it presents, you know, and I take joy in the things that it offers. As far as, you know, learning new things, learning about the country, about the development and the peace process. You know, and this experience allows me to become closer to the people that the United Nations intends to serve, right? So I'm able to meet South Sudanese here in UNMISS naturally, and I'm able to share my experiences and I'm able to listen to their experiences. And this would not be something that I could experience in a place like New York, right? I tend to live by the thinking that to receive, you must first give. And so being a volunteer here, being able to give a little bit of my time, a little bit of my energy to a noble cause is definitely something that is worth doing, even if the conditions are hard.
Mm-hmm. And if you are stranded on a desert island, what luxury would you take?
That is always an interesting question. Mm-hmm. I love the hypothetical questions like this. Mm-hmm. You know, if I was able to take an entity, I would say I would take my dog so that we could hang out, play around. You know, but if that doesn't count as a luxury, then alternatively, I would take a survival guide to living in a deserted island. I think that could come in handy once in a while. And if that even is not allowed, then at the end of the day, I would bring coffee. I love the morning coffee, right? And so if that's one thing that I could bring, would definitely be some coffee and perhaps a way to brew it.
You give us another track.
Right, so this next track is called Bye Bye Bird by Miles David. So, Davis is considered one of the most innovative, influential, and respected figures in the history of music. His approach, owing largely to the African-American performance tradition that focused on individual expression, empathetic interaction, and creative response to shifting contents, had a profound impact on generations of jazz musicians. You know, interestingly enough, the westernmost part of 77th Street in New York City has been named the Miles Davis Way because that's where he used to reside when he lived in New York. Davis, to me, has brought so much calm and invigoration, and I have listened to many of his tracks while staying up late at night in the library trying to finish a paper for my master's program.
Great, enjoy the music.
Mm-hmm.
You are tuned to The Spotlight with me, Regina Gonle, and my guest here in the studio. So who are the people who have been so influential in your life?
Well, certainly, naturally, I would say my parents and my sister, for the usual reasons, right? So their guidance, their care, their unwavering support through all these years has definitely made an impact and made me move forward professionally and personally. But apart from that, I would say my best friend Kyle has been extremely influential. He has pushed me to do better and to do more than anyone else outside my immediate family. You know, I remember one time that I was complaining about, I can't find a job. I want to work for the UN. And he said,
and
you're
complaining to who?
To Kyle, to my best friend Kyle. And, and he said, listen, are you actually applying though? How many applications have you done? And I said, well, not very many. He told me, you know what? Until you do 5 applications a week, we're not hanging out. And if you want to hang out, give me the proof that you've been applying. And at the end of the day, this is what got me my first job in UN headquarters.
So. And you are happy.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. So back to your UN volunteer experience, how have you been able to interact with the device communities?
Being at the headquarters here in Juba, I don't have the honor and opportunity to interact with much of the South Sudanese population. However, having said that, I have found that the South Sudanese to be among the friendliest and most welcoming people I've ever met. And I've met a lot of people throughout my life from a lot of places. When I drive around Juba town, whenever I'm going to a meeting, I always make it a point to wave at people, whoever may be looking to the UN vehicle. Mm-hmm. Because to me, I'm representing the organization and I'm representing the values. And if there's anything I can do, it's just to say hi, right? And to
you
wave.
You say hi to them from the car?
From the car, yeah. Okay. I just wave to them. And most of the times, they wave back with a smile,
sure.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, seeing this hospitality definitely feels good, right? And, you know, my interaction with some of my South Sudanese colleagues has also really been a good opportunity for me. I see that they are such great people, such welcoming people, but also such hard workers. And that's something that I definitely admire in this culture and in this country.
Is there anything you found shocking in your assignment?
Anything that I found shocking? Well, most interestingly, I think, is the importance of cattle to a lot of people here in South Sudan. I had never really thought about it in the way that people think about it here. So driving right between Juba Town and UN House, most of the time I will run into a group of cattle or herd of cattle, might I say. So it's fascinating to me to see that. And of course, I wave to the people that they're herders of these cattle, and most of the time they wave back.
Anything you feel makes you stand aside or apart?
Anything that stands apart in my experience here as a volunteer? I would have to say definitely reading some of the reports of conflict, some of the human rights violations. Being that I did my academic career on this, I naturally had written about it and spoken about it. But being in a country where this is actually happening and knowing, visiting those places where these things have happened, you know, has been quite shocking for me. But I think it's definitely something that is needed in order to bring change to a place. And I'm very grateful in order to be able to volunteer my time, skill set, and energy to reporting, even if the issues are not the happiest, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah. Give us your next song.
Of course. So this next song is another song by Mr. Miles Davis. I quite particularly like this song. It's upbeat, it's funky, it's fun. This album, introduced in 1958, sort of introduced modalism in jazz and set forth a tone for his subsequent work. This is another favorite track during late night studying at the library during my master's thesis. We'll be right back.
Welcome to the Spotlight, and this is a program that brings you the stories of amazing people who have amazing stories of their volunteerism. So we are almost getting to the end of our program. So what book has made the most impact on your life?
I mean, a lot of books have made a lot of impact, right? But I think one of the most recent books that I've read that has been most useful, which I actually recommend to anyone who is thinking of serving in a UN peacekeeping mission or is going to have the opportunity to serve in a peacekeeping mission, is a book called UN Peacekeeping Doctrine in a New Era, Adapting to Stabilization, Protection, and the New Threats. It's a book by Cedric Conning.
Very interesting.
Right, it's not exactly the most thrilling reading or light reading, right? But it definitely gives you the opportunity to look at the peacekeeping missions. It introduces a brief history about it, the changes and the challenges, and it provides different views of peacekeeping and how these challenges can be addressed. Mm. Most importantly, I think it's a rather new book. It's from 2017, which means that a lot of the things that have happened in South Sudan, for example, the 2016 crisis, is written in that book, which is not very common because many of the books that are on peacekeeping are before 2016. So it's definitely a book I would recommend to anyone.
Okay. And any two tips you would give someone who wants to serve as a UN volunteer?
Right. So definitely, maybe I had mentioned this earlier, patience. Be patient with yourself. Be patient with the recruitment process. Be patient with the deployment process. Believe in yourself and that you will get there. And then, you know, the second tip is just to understand the dynamics of volunteerism, right? You're not coming here because you are going to have a promotion, right? In fact, you're coming here to volunteer your time, your energy, and sometimes being a volunteer can be frustrating. But if you seek to give some of your time, energy, skill sets, it's definitely such a rewarding feeling, and I recommend it to anyone.
Mm. And if any important lessons you have learned during your serving as a UNV?
I think one of the most important lessons is to be friendly with people, to be friendly with your colleagues, to be friendly with the local community, and just to keep an open mind, right? Particularly meeting South Sudanese has been an amazing experience. And, you know, being in a mission where you live on base and you work on base, that is definitely sometimes challenging, but it's so rewarding. And I feel like a lot of people sometimes don't take the opportunity or go out of their way to meet local people. But in at the end of the day, we're here to help South Sudan, right, and to help the people of South Sudan move forward and achieve peace. And by meeting locals, it gives you a perspective. And it, to me, it motivates me to do better and to continue.
So it's
continue.
Very important to be motivated, right?
Of course, right. You know, being, especially in my position, writing so many reports, sometimes you feel like you're just on the treadmill. But being, like I said, meeting these people, then you can put contextualize the situation. And it's very important to me to be able to contextualize what I'm writing about because it helps me write better reports, which eventually helps mission leadership at some point have a better understanding of the dynamics on the ground.
What memories from your UNV experience?
About the memories of my UN volunteer experience? Well, there's a lot, right? I guess my most memorable experience is going to the field and having the opportunity to go to field locations, seeing you know, some of these POC sites. I went to the Bengtu POC site, which has over 100,000 people, which is larger than any city here in South Sudan. Being able to interact with the community members there, especially some of the youth, was so rewarding to me. But, you know, don't be scared to come to a field location, have patience and, you know, have the courage. At the end of the day, it's such a rewarding experience. And I couldn't think of doing anything else at this moment in time than volunteering myself, my time here at UNMISS.
Thank you so much. And thank you for sharing with us your work and experience, Alphonse.
Thank you. It's been such a pleasure being on the show today.
And Alphonse Pagaza has been working at the United Nations since 2014. Currently, he serves as an analyst and reporting officer at UNMISS for the Relief, Reintegration and Protection section in Juba. And listener, for you who have been following our program, thank you very much for following our program. And you have been listening to Spotlight, a program that brings you the voices of UN volunteers in South Sudan, speaking about their work and what makes volunteering such a noble cause for humanity. And I have been Regina Gorle, and don't forget to listen to the repeat of this program at 8 p.m. And thanks to our producer, Macrine, and the technical team, I'm Regina Gorle.